All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Lamentations and chapter number 3. We have been going through the Bible and looking at, as we have read through the Bible, we have been looking at just the different, trying to follow along with what we have been studying. And so we get to Lamentations and chapter number 3, and really in the book of Ezekiel is where we're reading right now in our daily Bible reading. And I'm really going back to Lamentations. And the reason I'm going back to Lamentations is because here in Lamentations chapter number 3, we come across a passage of Scripture that you're probably aware of. You've probably heard this passage of Scripture before. As a matter of fact, the song that we just sang, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," is more or less based upon this passage of Scripture. You may have heard Lamentations 3:22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Now, you might have heard that passage of Scripture before and heard it used in the past, but did you ever think about where that passage of Scripture came from and what it was used for? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about this passage of Scripture, where it came from, what it's used for, and why is it significant. As a matter of fact, if you would have asked me where that Scripture that says, "Every morning your mercies are new," if you would have asked me where is that Scripture found, I would not have been able to tell you the book of Lamentations. So as we, again, one of the things I've tried to do as we've gone through this daily Bible reading for the year, I've tried to pick out something that was in our Bible reading for the week that maybe needs a little more in-depth study, or maybe explain something to you that you didn't know, or something like that. Try to help you along in your daily Bible reading. And so as I came across this, because I've been preaching through Jeremiah, and been talking a little more in depth about Jeremiah and knowing where he was in his life and what he was experiencing, all of a sudden this passage of Scripture took on new meaning for me as I began to see where it is and where it comes from. Remember what the ministry of Jeremiah was. The ministry of Jeremiah was that he's going to tell his country, the place, his hometown, the place where he lived, he's going to tell them that God's going to bring judgment upon them. God's going to bring judgment upon them so severely that they're going to be taken captive by an army from the north, which we know is the Babylonian army. There's going to be a siege against the city Jerusalem. And the siege is going to be so severe that women are going to be in such dire straits that they're going to have their children for supper. Dire straits are going to come upon the city of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is the one that's delivering the message. This is what God says. This is the judgment that's coming upon you. And not only that, as we looked in the book of Jeremiah, we read and studied how that Jeremiah is going to experience those afflictions. As a matter of fact, what I've titled the message today is "An Understanding of Afflictions." You see, as you read through this text, and I'm not really going to take the time to read through all of Jeremiah in chapter number 3, but if you go back to, Lamentations in chapter number 3, but if you just go back to verse number 1, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light." Jeremiah knows that he is experiencing the wrath of God. Now, not the wrath of God upon him, it is the wrath of God upon the nation of Israel. But because he's lives in Judah, not actually Israel, this is actually Judah. Because he's living in Judah, he's going to experience this judgment of God upon the nation. And so he's going to suffer these afflictions. You know, how is this applicable for us today? Well, Jeremiah understood his afflictions. He understood, here I am, I'm suffering the judgment of God upon the people of Judah and upon the city of Jerusalem. And because I live here, I'm experiencing this. So I'm experiencing afflictions. And he's going to find out and remember the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God. As we live our lives, the Bible tells us that man is a few days and full of sorrow. As we live our lives and we know that we live in a sin-cursed world, we know that trials and afflictions are going to come upon us. We just understand that's what is in life. There's heartache in life. There's troubles and trials in life. And listen, just like Jeremiah suffered because of the sins of someone else, you may experience heartache and suffering because of the sins of someone else. Let's take a for example. Okay? Broad example here. Someone sins by drinking and driving. You may be totally innocent. You're driving down the road minding your own business. But because they have sinned and they're drinking and driving, they hit you. You have an automobile accident, and you're going to suffer because of that. Maybe there's no injuries, but maybe your car is just destroyed. You know, that's an affliction no matter what. Having to deal with, you know, all of the potential situations there. I mean, there's no sin of your own. You didn't do anything wrong. You were driving a speed limit. You were minding your own business. I mean, they said it Tuesday it's going to snow. And so you were going to the grocery store to get milk, bread, and eggs. Because when there's snow, you know you got to have milk, bread, and eggs. I mean, you wasn't doing anything wrong. You was just going to the store. Someone else had sinned, and now you're suffering because of that. And so what we want to understand as we look at Jeremiah suffering these afflictions is this, that we're going to suffer afflictions just because we're living in this world. Not necessarily because of our sins. And Jeremiah says, here in this lamentation, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He understood the afflictions that came upon him. I mean, let's read just a little bit. Verse 3. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. I mean, you can understand this. This is it's an affliction that Jeremiah is experiencing. It's heartache, it's trouble, it's trial. And so Jeremiah is talking about through these first 19 verses about all that he has suffered because of all that he has endured. Verse 14, he says, I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. You know, think about this. Jeremiah knew that the message that God had given him was not going to be a pleasant message to deliver to the people. Whether you're aware of it or not, but standing and speaking the Word of God is not always an easy thing. As a matter of fact, I would say 9 times out of 10, it's very difficult to stand and to deliver the message. Because you recognize first and foremost that you're accountable to God for what you're saying. You recognize that you're delivering, thus saith the Lord, and people are need to hear that word so God can use it. And to think about the place that you're in it, that when you're delivering God's message, even if you're delivering a good message, an easy message, a message full of blessing, it's still a hard thing to deliver. And besides, you don't want to misuse the Word of God. You don't want to say something wrong. And so it's with fearfulness that you have to deliver the message of God. But Jeremiah was delivering a message of judgment. That's why he'd say, I was a derision to all of my people. They hated him because of the message that he was given. Filled me with bitterness. I mean, his heart was full of bitterness at times because of this message, because of what he was going to have to preach. And you know that there was a time when we talked about this, and he said, that's it, I'm not going to preach anymore. And then his word was within me, a fire in my burning in my soul, and he had to. So you just get an idea of where Jeremiah was. Verse 17, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. I don't remember what it was like. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. And so just try to put yourself in the place of Jeremiah and try to think about his emotional condition, going back and remembering how he was treated for preaching the Word of God, thrown down into the cistern, the cellar, left in the muck and the mire, with no food to eat. Maybe he would be lucky enough to get some stale bread. Think of the emotional state that he was in, knowing that he was delivering this message, and he forgot what it was like to be blessed of the Lord, and his strength and his hope perished. You can see the emotional condition of Jeremiah at this point. And again, the reason is Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he wept as he looked at the condition of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah, and it broke him to see the way the nation was going. But then, we find in this passage of Scripture that Jeremiah remembers the faithfulness of the Lord. So what we're going to see here, you going through life and you're suffering afflictions and you're suffering heartaches and you're suffering difficult times, difficult things, and maybe you're serving the Lord the best you can and being as faithful as you can to the Lord, but you are still suffering through heartaches and afflictions. You might be beaten down just like Jeremiah was. Maybe you even come to the place where your hope is perished. Well, I pray that this message today, as we look at what happened in Jeremiah's life, will be an encouragement to you. Because even though Jeremiah was suffering these afflictions, remember, he was taken captive. He stayed in Judah, but then those that stayed behind in Judah, remember, they were fleeing the city of Babylon and they forced him to go with them to Egypt. And this is what he experienced. But notice what he says in verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What's he going to recall to his mind, and what's going to cause him to have hope? Here's what he understands. Even though the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah is underneath the wrath of God, and even though the invading army from Babylon under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar is coming to destroy the city, and even though they're going to face all of those trials, Jeremiah remembers this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. What Jeremiah knew was that if God gave them what they deserved, God would wipe them out. If you go back and look at the condition of the hearts of the people that lived in Judah at the time and how that they were, if you go back to the book, what you're reading right now in Ezekiel, and you look at the place where Ezekiel was given the vision of how the people are hiding their idols and they're worshiping idols in secret at their homes. If you look at the condition of their hearts, and see what was going on in their hearts, God would have been just to wipe out Jerusalem and to wipe out Judah. But God didn't. And Jeremiah understands it's of the Lord's mercies. It's interesting, the word mercies there, it's because God didn't give us what we deserve that we're not consumed. Why did God preserve Jeremiah? Why did God preserve the nation of Jerusalem? Why did He leave a remnant in Judah? Why did He protect the captives as they went back into Babylonian captivity? Why did God do that? Why didn't He just wipe them off the earth? I mean, they sinned against God. They were living in all types of sin, like the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were hiding their idols, and they were saying that the idols that they created were the ones that were given them blessings. They were taking their children and sacrificing them on the altar to Molech, burning their children to death alive. Why would God preserve them? Well, God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with Isaac. God made a covenant with Jacob. God made a covenant with the children of Israel. God made a covenant with David, that someone would sit upon His throne forever. And the reason that God did not destroy the nation of Judah and wipe them out completely is because God made a covenant with His people that they would accomplish His purpose, and that the Messiah would come and would sit upon the throne of David forever. And so it is of the Lord's mercies that the nation of Judah is not consumed, because they deserved to be consumed. How is that applicable to us? Well, you know, and I know, that it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And really, if God gave us what we deserved, we would be destroyed. And you might say, "Oh no, not me, Brother Mark. I'm not living in sin. I'm doing good in life. I'm doing my best for the Lord and this and that." Yeah, that's called pride. If you look at who you are and say, "Look at me, I'm doing pretty good. I don't deserve the judgment of God upon my life." That's called pride. So yeah, that's the worst of them all. Listen, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed every day in our lives. And listen, the afflictions that we're experiencing, they're far less than what we deserve. And so we need to understand the mercy of God in our life. Remember that His compassions fail not. That even though He's bringing judgment upon the nation Judah, He is still compassionate, and they will never fail. And Jeremiah was able to wake up the next morning and say, "The mercy of God is fresh and new today. The compassion of God is fresh and new today." Even as Nebuchadnezzar was laying siege against the city of Jerusalem, Jeremiah could say, "Today, God's mercies are new." And even as those in the city were being taken captive, Jeremiah could say, "Still yet, today, the Lord's mercies are new." And as he was being taken against his will out of the city of Jerusalem and taken to Egypt, he could say, "Even though I know God says for us not to go to Egypt, but they're making me go anyway," he could still say, "This morning, God's mercies are new. Tomorrow morning, you're facing heartaches today. You're facing trials today. But in the morning when you wake up, God's mercies are fresh and new for you. God has compassion for you in your life. Every day, no matter the afflictions that you might face, just remember the compassions of the Lord, they fail not." You may be at the end of yourself. You may be thinking, I can't take it anymore. I don't think I can handle this anymore. Just remember the compassions of God. They fail not. You see, every morning we understand, great is thy faithfulness. What did Jeremiah understand? Jeremiah understood that God was going to be faithful to the covenant that he made with Abraham. God was going to be faithful to the covenant that he made with Isaac. God was going to be faithful to the covenant that he made with Jacob. God was going to be faithful to the covenant that he made with David. What can we know today? We can know this, that God has calling you his child if you're born again. You can know that he laid down his life for you and has given you eternal life. And he says that you're in the Father's hand and you're never going to perish. And you can know that God says that one day he's going to present you faultless before the Father with exceeding great joy. And here's what you know, God is going to be faithful to that. It's true. You can know that no matter what it looks like in this world, God is going to be faithful to you who is his child. He's going to be faithful to you. No matter if your world is falling apart, you're his child. He's going to be faithful to you. There's nothing that anyone in this world can take. They can't take that away from you. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God has already declared you just. Though someone may bring a railing accusation against you, it doesn't matter. God has justified you already. It doesn't matter. You're in the Father's hand. He will be faithful to you. What's the Scripture say? If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. God's going to be faithful to you even in spite of yourself. If your faith fails and your strength is gone, God's going to be faithful to you. This is what Jeremiah was able to understand. And as he pondered on the mercy of the Lord, as he thought about the compassions of God, as he thought about the faithfulness of God, what comes into his heart? Verse 24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." In the distance he could see the Babylonian army coming, and he knew the outcome was not going to be good. As the Babylonian army laid siege to the city of Jerusalem, and they cut off, what that means is they surrounded the city and cut off all supplies. There would be no one come in and no one can go out. Eventually the city, those inhabitants of the city would starve to death because there would be no food for them. That's what laying siege to a city meant. And so as the Babylonian army surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and as the days went on, and as people begin to die because of starvation, and because the people began to fight over food, and all of what went on, you can imagine what all went on inside the city. As all of that began to take place, Jeremiah could be strong in the spirit, knowing the Lord is my portion, I will hope in him. So no matter what was going on around him, Jeremiah could remember, God is faithful. I will hope in him. See, Jeremiah could understand the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh after him. He could understand that if I'm faithful to follow after God, if I'm serving God with my whole heart, if I'm not turning my back and running away from him, if I'm not turning to idols, if I'm doing what I should be doing, I can understand the Lord's goodness is going to be with me when I wait. Look beyond my circumstances and look for the plan of God. The Lord is good. Notice, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Again, as all around him, heartaches, trials, afflictions, death, destruction, Jeremiah could say, it's a good thing for me to hope and wait for the Lord. I know that's the most difficult thing for us to do sometimes. But sometimes, God is teaching us how to wait on Him, how to trust in His plan, how to rely upon His strength, how to wait upon the Lord. And when we wait upon the Lord, we'll mount up with the wings of the eagles. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not grow weary. We'll run and not faint. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is full with reproach. You see how Jeremiah understands what's going on in the long-term trust in the Lord that he has. And then notice verse 31 is interesting. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Now, let's remember, this is a message that Jeremiah is giving to the city of Jerusalem and to the inhabitants of Judah. And they're experiencing the wrath of God. They're experiencing the judgment of God. The Nebuchadnezzar, the army of Babylon, is coming down against them. And they may be saying, all hope is lost. And Jeremiah might be saying, yes, you are suffering this affliction because of your sin against God. Nebuchadnezzar is coming down because you turned your heart away from God and because you sinned against God and you served idols. Yes, you're suffering this judgment because of that. But the Lord will not cast off forever. Even though you are experiencing this judgment, it's only going to last 70 years. Now, that'd be bad if you was a 70-year-old, you know, because chances are you're not going to see the end of the captivity. But you know, if you're seven, you might have a pretty good chance of surviving that captivity. God's not going to cast off the nation of Judah forever. God is going to restore them. He's going to bring them back. He's going to rebuild His country. He's going to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. God is never going to utterly forsake the nation of Judah. But though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. What's that mean? God is causing grief to come into the nation of Jerusalem, or the nation of Judah. He's causing grief to come to the city of Jerusalem. But even though He's causing that grief, even though that those afflictions are coming from the hand of God, even though He's bringing that judgment, He's going to have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies. Even though God brings judgment, it's a compassionate judgment. Notice, it's God causing the grief. He's allowing that to come into their lives. He's actually ordering it to come into their lives. He called the army of Babylon down to destroy that city. What's that mean for us? You know what, in your life you may sin against God. In your life, you may not put Him first. And because of that, God may want to get your attention. And He may cause some grief to come into your life because of sin that's in your life, or because you put other things before the Lord. He may cause some grief to come into your life. But even if He does, understand that it's going to be a compassionate judgment, you might say. Notice, for He doth not willingly... For He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He's not doing it because He wants to. He's doing it because He has to. You know, one of the things I used to hate when my mom said this, when she's getting the flyback paddle out, or when she was getting the fly swatter out, or the switch, or whatever it was that was close enough, and she was going to bring the judgment. I used to hate it when she said, Now this is going to hurt me worse than it's going to hurt you. I used to hate that because I'm like, yeah, you are just beating me. And you say it's hurting you. It ain't hurting you. It might be wearing your arm out, but it's not hurting you. It's hurting my bottom. Then I got to be a little older and I got to have my own children. And I began to find out that when I was bringing that judgment, it was not hurting me physically, but it was breaking me emotionally. It was killing me emotionally. And so God doesn't afflict willingly nor cause men to be grieved. We need to understand that it breaks the heart of God. If He has to allow affliction to come into your life, it's breaking the heart of God because He's having to chasten His child. It's not bringing Him joy. To crush under His feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approves not. Verse 40 says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto the God of heaven. What does Jeremiah say? Listen, this judgment is coming, and how should we respond to that? Search our hearts, try our ways, and turn to the Lord. If you begin to face affliction, if you begin to face heartache, if you begin to face trials, the first thing that you ought to do is find out if they are the judgment of God that's come into your life, the chastening hand of God that's come into your life because you have sinned against God or because you have put other things in front of Him, that you're serving the world more than you're serving the Lord. You need to find out if there's some sin that you need to confess. Search your heart, try your ways. And if you need to turn to the Lord, turn to the Lord. But no matter what, let us lift up our heart and our hands unto the God of heaven because He is truly worthy of our worship because it is Him that has made us and not we ourselves. And let's serve Him. Let's love Him because we recognize that He loved us. And let's recognize that no matter what our condition in life might be, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. And great is His faithfulness. No matter what, He is going to be faithful to you, His child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this example that we have in the life of Jeremiah. We thank You for these words that You had given him to give unto us. And we pray, Lord, that we can live in Your faithfulness, understanding Your mercies are new and Your compassions never fail, and that You are faithful to us. Help us to live in a way that honors that and honors Your Son for the sacrifice that He made for us. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.